back, bro. I'm so glad that everybody's ready for this new episode, man. Hey, I'm your host, Mike Moss, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, shout out to my girl, Chris. Y'all, she couldn't be here this episode. Well, she could, but she's not. This is about the fellas.
Don't cap. She actually
about
here.
The fellas.
Say, hey, Chris.
Dang it, I thought she was going to play her role.
She here.
Y'all, shout out K-Hart. Y'all see my girl always around. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my sis real quick.
Yeah.
It's cool, y'all. Y'all, we got a special episode. Y'all know about the Core Four, but y'all, we decided to break it down even a little more. First of all, let's give our biggest boss a shout out. Jay, how you feeling?
I feel blessed. Hey, let me tell you something. This one's gonna be litty in the
city.
There we go.
He almost tried to
take me out. I want to give him an 8-minute introduction. Can I do it in 30 seconds?
I want you to do it in 29.
Ooh, I'm up for a challenge.
Next level.
So he basically going to say, I'm limited to the greatness I can share.
I want you to know that we just use 7.
Powerful husband.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get into the money, the accolades, the business, husband.
Yeah.
Whose wife loves and adores him.
Yeah.
Father.
Yeah.
Whose kids love, revere, respect him. My man is hosting a 15-year rites of passage for his daughter. Like,
wow.
He different, right? A retired professional basketball player. My man has traveled the world. He's spoken. He started schools. He started successful businesses. And didn't just start a school. Now, the boys' school in Bermuda is up and running. He sits on the board like, man, author, like, on so many levels. My brother, my friend. My man put together a tour in Bermuda that brought me, my parents, other speakers there, and took care of everything. Like, this brother is different. We've been a part of a prayer line for the past 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And now he's serving as an executive with our company. And he's the director of our Speakers Academy, Speakers Elite program. So he runs all of that. My brother, my partner, my dog, and my workout partner.
Hey,
Chris Crump.
Hey, listen.
From Akalawaha.
I love that. I love that. Hey, listen, man. I'm so excited. To be with you guys, man. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Just
glad
like that.
Glad to have you here, man. Let's get into it, man. So, bro, I know you as Crump. Mm-hmm. He knows you as bro. But, bro, we talking about the King's coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I've never heard this title before, y'all. Like, I don't want to build up to it. I want to jump straight into it. What categorizes? Where does that come from? What is a King's coach? That sounds like you're coaching the coach. Like, what's a king's coach, man?
Yeah, so it's twofold. One, I'm the king of coaching.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'm good at what I do.
You're
going to find somebody different, but you won't find nobody better. The second part is really empowerment of men.
Okay.
Because everybody wants the role, but they don't want the responsibility.
Mm.
So to even be a king, first you have to have a queen.
Okay.
That part.
Yeah, come on.
Right? And the other part is a king... it's not a petty priest, but he's royalty. So you don't just think about yourself. You think about what your responsibility is for others.
Gotcha.
And so for me, it's really empowering that space as men to make sure that we're not just talking about trying to do stuff for ourselves, but making sure we're helping and being responsible for what we have to do for others.
I love it.
That's king
crazy.
Coach.
Mm.
And so watch this. What I know is you're not just coaching men, you're also coaching and mentoring young boys, but you're speaking to that king that they will be.
Yeah.
So speak to that, because as the king coach, some people might be like, yeah, but I saw you at a basketball practice or camp, or you speaking to some young people, they're not kings, you would say, yet. But it's your responsibility to speak to that greatness inside them. So speak to that, bro.
Yeah, that's big. That's a big part of how it started for me. I was that boy myself.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Want to be a neighborhood superstar, slap boxing, racing, wanting the girls, wanting the car, and getting in trouble. And somebody saw that wasn't where I was going to end up, and they poured into that person.
Mm.
So when I worked in schools and middle schools and boys' home, juvenile prisons, correctional facilities, I've always saw, like, I understand where you are, but also understand where you're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And I always spoke to that. I always honored the humanity in every man and woman that I ever coached.
I love it, man. I love it. What role and responsibility, what drives you to want to work with young men and men to help them be the kings within? Is it just so that they can be who they're supposed to be? Or is there a deeper level where it's just like, you know what society needs, you know what the woman needs? Like, yeah. Speak to that.
Yeah, it's definitely deep. It's systemic. So the work I do is not intervention. The work I do is systemic. And when you're talking about systemic change, right, that's changing the system. So I always tell somebody, like, I was in third sector, in other phrase, a nonprofit world, where people would say, man, I gave to women and children for 20 years. If you gave to women and children for 20 years, you're keeping a cycle going for a generation. Because, like, let's say Section 8 housing. How do you make sure a woman gets fully qualified for Section 8 housing? Make sure the government makes sure the father's not in the home.
Right.
If you take him out the home, then we'll give you money so that you could be dependent.
Facts.
Right? So the reality is the systemic issue that we're facing is that a man taking responsibility and being his own kingship and that being honored in the home is missing. And it's creating all other additional issues,
right?
Whether it be, mental health or whatever the case may be. But for every guy that I know, that's a man who take care of his queen and take care of his home, there's no government aid needed for that residence.
Come on.
There's no church intervention that's needed for that, right?
So all
the other services and social support that we put in place for communities is because we forgot the necessity.
Right.
Right? I always say, man is the most important and woman is the most powerful.
Mm.
And what happens is we try to make that a comparative and competitive. It's collaborative. Mm. Right? And it's when we fully embrace and accept the fact that we got to have that man in that home. Like, that got to happen. Because it solves all the other social, relational issues. But when that's not honored and valued, like all these issues we have in America about suicide, like Norway and these other countries that value men, they don't have school shootings. They don't have policies for school for kids to learn what happens. What happens when somebody intrudes the school? Now they got kids practicing. Kids got bulletproof backpacks now. Like, the only country that has that is America.
Wow.
But America's one of the main countries that don't value men.
Mm.
And all Western world doesn't value men, like, as a priority. To make sure that is something so that we cannot fall in love with just trying to be in control, but being responsible. I'm not excited about the role, but when it's not my fault, I'm excited about taking care of responsibility. What my child did at school, that wasn't my fault, but that child is my responsibility. Right. I'm going to make sure I make an adjustment. What my wife did wasn't my fault, but my wife is my responsibility. Right. My job is to cover her, right? And so, but the more that you empower and encourage and celebrate me taking on this sacrificial role within the home, the more people run to that spot.
Mm.
Because that's not being done in the past 20 years, guys ain't running to that spot no more. Matter of fact, more women want to be in that spot than men now.
Wow.
Okay.
That's deep.
Dog. Yeah. Okay, so if we hitting it like that, it's, I can already tell, like, I'm going to have to kick some of my notes, bro, because you really kicking up some natural responses from me. And I'm really blown by how intentional you have to be in order to be a King's coach. Like, your mindset is almost like prepared for every situation. Like, so many people negate so much when it comes to men. And I feel like you already have a breakdown for that. But there are people, we don't have a lot of it celebrated, but there are actually people who are willing to support and actually surround us men and may not know what to do. How big would you say community is in supporting starting out that King's role, man?
Yeah,
we share a similar mentor, the inability to self-assess. But one of the key factors in any transformational process is self-awareness.
Okay.
And when people are not even aware,
right.
I was telling Jay earlier in the conversation, a problem is a problem because you don't know it's a problem. So, but if you pay attention and pause for the cause, the most people incarcerated are men. The most people that's committing suicide is men. The most people that's committing homicides is men. The most people that's committing crime is men. There is an epidemic on just an attack and an assassination on just men and masculinity and as a whole, but we're still at the beginning stage of feeling the effects.
Gotcha.
I'm not valuing and empowering that. And the start is awareness.
Okay.
Just having awareness to understand that there's been projections and narratives and marketing to make you feel or think something differently towards that or neglect it.
Yeah.
And like, it has to start there. Are you even aware?
Is it the man aware, or are you talking about the community?
In general.
Okay. So so we all need to have an awareness.
Men are aware.
Okay.
Men are crying and dying inside.
Mm.
Like, a man don't... the men that I coach, we're not... Man, bump being a husband and a father and a provider. That's not a general consensus.
Mm.
It goes from that, man, if I do that, will I be honored? Will I be respected? Will I be revered? And so because I've already been disrespected, neglected, abused,
right,
not seen or not, so I'm not even going to, I'm just going to stay being selfish.
Wow.
At least I can survive.
And it's expected. You know, I feel like when you're hurting, it's hard to be strong for something that doesn't appreciate you, you know, especially if you don't know how to appreciate yourself. Like, that self-awareness is huge. I want to make sure that the community has something, though, that they can pick up with that awareness. Can you give me something after that awareness? Like, maybe two more things. Like, awareness can be the first of three. What'll be two more things?
Let me give him a segue into it.
Okay. Help me out.
I
want
to share a story. So I was in Atlanta for maybe 2 years, and first and second year I was here, I spoke for this event for the city. I met this woman who was like she was like the sheriff, and she was like over basically Fulton County Jail. She says, "Oh my God, Jeremy, you're powerful. Can you come and speak and just give a message to our 17-year-olds?" I said, "17-year-olds in Atlanta? Like, in the main jail? They should be the teachers there." She was like, "Our stuff is so filled, we have to put the 17-year-olds in a separate pod in the Fulton County Jail." So I show up, it's two pods, I go in there. She was like, "The guys are on 23-1. I said, "What's that?" 23 hours a day they locked up. They get out 1 hour a day, but when they get out, they fighting and it's riots. And I'm like, "Well, what you think? You got a bunch of 17-year-olds filled with testosterone.
23 hours
locked up. Of course they beefing it on edge." So I pour into them, I bless them, and they capture my heart. I did a whole year program.
Wow.
We'll show up once a week and spend time with them. I bring them books. Every single book that Spirit Rain ever produced, I done probably gave some of your books away.
Wow.
I done gave them books. They got all my books. I buy hundreds of Bibles. They even let me bring donuts in there. They gave me my own card.
Wow.
It would get to a point, Chris, I could walk in without security, bro. They just buzzed me through. But one day, everything changed. Now, these 17-year-olds, boy, I don't know what they put in pesticides in this chicken nowadays.
I promise.
They built different.
Facts.
I'm in this sucker. It's about a dozen of them. The guard opens the gates. They come out. They all sit down. I'm going in. And so one dude stands up, 17 years old, future to be like a Division I basketball star, tats on his neck and his face. Mm. So he is fully committed to this lifestyle.
Right.
He stands up at the bay of the table like, "Man." I'm like, "Use your words." Like, "Use your words, my man.
Right.
Talk to me, bro. Breathe. What's up?" He's like pacing around. "I'm so frustrated." He the ringleader. He about 6'4", easy 230. Mm. He's like, I'm like, "Why are you frustrated?" He's like, "Man, you come here every week." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "We need more from you." Mm. I was in my feelings. Because I'm like, "Bro, ain't nobody else in Atlanta. All these millionaires, all these attorneys and physicians and engineers and teachers and entrepreneurs. Bro, ain't nobody else showing up, bro, and pulling money out their pocket and driving 45 minutes across. Ain't nobody else doing that." I didn't say this to him, but this is what I was thinking.
Of course.
I was fresh off a gig in Australia, my first and second time I went there, so I was still dealing with jet lag. I'm like, "Bro, what more you want from me?" This is what I'm about to kick to you, Chris. He says, "Will you come here and you mentioned one time how you be reading to your kids at night, and man, you be bringing us books and stuff, but how come you'll never read to us?"
Wow.
I'm like, "Bruh." Like, my man got tears in his eyes, pissed at me. He's like, "Bro, you read to your kids. Why you don't read to us? You say you love us. You pray with us. Why you don't? We ain't never had no father read to us. We ain't never had nobody teach us how to ride a bike, bruh." Like, my man was asking for story time, tats on his neck and his face. And so, Chris, speak to that, bro. Because my man was like, "Bro, just read to me. We ain't never had nobody read. You bring us books. We talk. We dialogue. You give us game. But can you just read?" Bro, I felt the innocence.
Yeah.
I felt the innocence in his soul at that time. So speak to that, bro.
It always blows my mind when people think I got so much, like Shane, if I was a scientist, if I was creating something out of my brain that was an algorithm and an equation, I would see why you would celebrate me. But I find it fascinating that people celebrate me because I'm showing love to the young men. Then I'm being a father to him. Yeah, then I'm being an uncle to him.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, what you did was just amazing. I say, I saw him. He's a human.
Saw him.
Like, he's a human. Like, because here's the truth. A lot of people are intimidated of men, and especially black men. They're scared of them, even in schools. And they're human. They're little kids a lot of times. And so me rap battling with them, me wrestling. I used to wrestle a lot with the kids. We do push-up. Like,
why we pronounce it like that?
What's up?
Is anybody else? Is that just me? Because we all do it. It's not just you, but this is a great example to go into it. I wrestle with them. I was like, last time I learned how to spell it, it was wrestle with an E. But the way you said wrestle, you made you like a W-R-A-S-S-L-E. What's a wrestle?
Southern born, Southern bred.
Oh, Drew. Okay.
And when we finish, cut the light off. Now, listen. Well, the point I'm making is that the reason why you answer one of your earlier questions too, why I go so hard in the space.
Yeah.
Here I am, adopted by a man in his 40s who loved me, okay, who went all in for me, right? Raised in the church.
Okay.
Committed loving mama. Same house my whole life.
Okay.
Get a college education.
Yeah.
Married my college sweetheart.
Come on. Wow. Come on.
Travel the world.
Come on. Okay.
Get married and have children.
Come
become
on.
A leader and successful entrepreneur and author, and I still don't know what I'm doing.
Wow.
I still don't know what I'm doing as a husband. Wow. I still don't know what I'm doing as a father. I still don't know what I'm doing as a man. So imagine.
Wow.
If a man never had a daddy. If he grew up in trauma. If he grew up and he didn't ever went to college, or he never, like, just imagine.
Wow. That's crazy. So,
but here you are, because he's 6'4". Because he's the biggest in the community, you have expectations. Chris Rock says something powerful. He says, people love women unconditionally, they love kids unconditionally, and they love dogs unconditionally. But they will only love a man under a condition.
Ooh. Wow.
And we feel that weight that we're not even, you don't even see them. Like, when you're a fully grown man, I just want you to love me. I want you to pamper me. I want you to just touch me. I don't even want the whole a sky, moons, and stars, and all the jobs. And bro, listen, when I come home, it's so simple what I need. It is so basic what I need. I'm a fully grown man now.
Right?
And that gets lost from Jump Street.
Yeah.
That same man that in my 40s and 50s that just wants you to touch me really was that 4 or 5 year old that just wanted you to love on me.
Wow.
And I'm just an in-between intercessor trying to intervene long enough to help them endure a season that they're going through.
That's crazy.
That's deep.
And that's why I make sure I do two things. I'm not your God. I'm your brother. Mm. Make sure you fall in love with your God, because you're going to need him.
Yeah.
And number two, get some support, brother.
Yeah.
Get some support outside of me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if I could create a space where you could just be a thawa, be butt naked, as we call it in some of the ministries I'm a part of with men, so that you could get that off of you, because it's such a heavy weight to be constantly known you either fear me or neglect me.
Ooh.
Wow.
Just those two.
That's it.
That's crazy.
So,
man,
let me ask you a question, bro. That's deep. Let me ask you a question. I really believe, I remember one time I was speaking at an event. I don't remember exactly where, so I don't want to lie. But I remember I was challenging the women. And I was just like, women got to raise their worth. Mm. I was like, man, women, your worth, your value is so high. You don't even realize you got to raise it. And I walked away from that speaking engagement and I felt so convicted. And God was like, bruh, women could empower other women, but what's going to enhance their worth is when they get that love from men. My daughter, Tracy, can affirm and love all on Jewel, but what's going to make her blossom was daddy says, baby girl, you are precious. Kiss on the forehead. Baby girl, you're beautiful. You are so smart. She needs that. So I realized in our communities and globally, women are needing that covering and that support. I found myself at an event recently challenging the men. I said, some of y'all are here. I was speaking for a Barack Obama's program, My Brother's Keeper, here in Atlanta. when I went there, it was a conference all for men. But they also have a My Sister's Keeper that Michelle runs.
Mm-hmm.
So the My Sister Keeper women were there. So they were the greeters. They were the host. Mm. They took me and my team to the green room. They brought out the meals and the food, and they served the kings. It was so beautiful, right?
Mm.
But I said, shame on you fellas for looking at them like, ooh, she fine. I want to smash. Mm. I said, bro, you should be protecting her.
Mm.
You should be cherishing her.
Mm.
You're looking at her like the world already is idolizing. Like you idolizing her like sexy. Like the world is already saying she's not pretty enough. She's not thin enough. She's not light enough. Her hair not like she, you've got to see the value on the inside. So Chris, can you speak to that and the responsibility that men have to not just be men so we can be men and be present, but the impact it makes on our community as a whole and how women need for us to be the men that they deserve in their lives to be as present the way that we should be present.
Question for you. What was the age group of the boys you was talking to?
Bruh, the classic age. High schoolers.
Yeah.
And, so, and let me say this too. I acknowledged. I was like, I get it. Yeah. When I was your age, I'd be like, man, she fine, she bad. I said, but let me challenge you on something here.
Yeah.
Right? Let's not be predators.
Mm.
We should not, let's not prey on them.
Mm.
Let's pray over them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I hit them with. Like, so let's not look at them like they are a piece of meat. Like, let's look at them like, how can we support them? How can we serve them to enhance community if you're really about the culture and our people?
Yeah, it's a couple of things. We talked about once another tangible thing is educate yourself. Like, the brain doesn't fully develop in men until 25. And we talk about a Maslow hierarchy of needs. Like, getting to the place where your self-awareness is so high that you can actually visualize self-actualization. You can visualize who your best self should be. You could do something about it. There's so many steps of safety and comfort and support that you need to even have the ability to be the best version of yourself to help somebody else be the best version of themselves.
I love it.
So the education and awareness starts with realizing that I value humans.
Yeah.
Starting with valuing myself. That journey is different for everybody. There's so many ebbs and flows because you have to factor in the trauma. You have to factor in the abuse or the narratives that was projected upon them and how long it's going to take them to get out of their head about who they even think they are. That's why, again, when I start my intervention, yes, he's 15, 16, 17, but I see him at 36. So I always play the long game. I always tell my wife, the moves I'm making, I'm thinking about where we want to be 20 years from now. The moves I'm making now with my children, I'm thinking about where I want to be, what I want them 20. And now my next goal is, okay, now I got to put together something for 40 years from now, 50 years from now. Right. Somebody has to be taking that mantle, right? That works if everybody is in agreement to support the man that's taking on that mantle.
Right.
So it's a constant, not just awareness, but an educational even how to. For example, subculturally, because we don't value, let's say you go to, like I've been blessed to travel the world and live in different countries. You go to a Filipino woman or a woman who was raised old school Caribbean.
Okay.
They make dinner.
Right.
Like especially go to like the royal of Dominican Republic. You know, if you come into their home, who's the first person to get a plate?
The husband.
The father.
Right?
The
father.
Yeah.
Straight up.
If you grew up in the South when I was from, like, they'll say the first person they'll feed is the kids.
Oh, right? True.
And y'all kids sit out here, y'all get the little kids out the way, and then they'll say women. Then they'll say men last.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
Now, and then some people, if you went in a social setting, right? And it's just a challenge culturally where you was raised, things are different.
That's crazy.
Like if we had an adult event and let's say it was a buffet line. They would say, all right, we prayed, go eat. What would be the social expectation in America of who goes and eats first?
The children.
No, it's just adults. Oh. It's just men and women.
Oh, the women.
The women.
For sure.
All I'm saying is.
Yeah, because they're supposed to make our plate and bring it back. I just feel like. That ain't my ministry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Anderson.
No, but the point I'm making is some stuff is just subconsciously in us, but all we're saying, all you're processing without you even knowing it.
So let me push back because I don't know exactly what you're saying. If I think you're saying is that men should be a higher priority, but at the same time, you know the message we be giving men. We're here to serve, bro.
I'm not on
and to make
it.
Sacrifices.
I'm all about, come on, bro. We go above and beyond. I'm just helping the masses because I fully socially awareness.
Right.
Are you a one percenter? For social awareness? Are you a one percenter? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
1% of 1%.
Exactly. So you're an anomaly. So you cannot use you and your situation to teach a mass because you're an anomaly.
But we do have a responsibility. Are you hearing him?
But I want you to understand.
No, I do, but I'm saying, but that don't mean we don't guide them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't have the issue of awareness. You don't have the issue of being struggling with a narrative subconsciously.
Right, okay.
So what I'm doing is highlighting people's awareness. To ask yourself, do I have the men in my life are a priority to me?
I got you. Yep, that's crystal clear now, my boy.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Me and you don't need that conversation.
Right.
But I fully understand I'm a one percenter now.
Right.
I'm not having the issues that the general world is having today.
Right.
And I've been, I'm almost over 30 countries I've been to. I've been on a prayer line talking to men for over a decade, for 3 hours every day, 5 days a week, pouring in with the Spirit of God.
Wow.
I can't even go in a church and be fed properly now.
Wow.
Shannon, you can relate.
Wow.
A general church can't feed me where I'm at now. Right. The amount of books I've read, the amount of coaching I've had, the amount of people I poured into, the 5,000 plus men I mentored.
That's different.
Like, you have to be on another level to even really feed my spirit for where I'm at now.
Right.
I get that. So my assignment is not to keep being fed. My assignment now is to feed.
Right.
Because I got so much now. Right?
That was deep.
That was crazy.
But again, that got nothing to do with, oh man, what you trying to say? That's awareness. So when I said I'm the king of coaching, because the king of experiences that I've been
through,
right? The 30 countries, the organizations, the churches that I helped build ministries, right? The outreach, the schools that I developed, the boards that I've sat on, the organizations that I directed, helping you go from where you're going within your own company and helping the people that I help. I'm just saying you're not going to find somebody that you can get off Indeed. To give you the value that I'm going to give you from the richness of experiences that I've had, but you could find somebody different.
Gotcha.
So that's not even an arrogant statement. That's just awareness I've had some rich experience that the everyday person just haven't had.
And it's our responsibility to bring that to light and to let them know this is now the new standard. This is what's possible.
Exactly.
This is what's expected of you.
I know you don't know.
Right. So, and I'm going
to
give you grace to grow. But now this is where that next level. So I'm gonna let you close us out with this, bro. What can women do to support us, whether it's to make us feel loved, valued, heard, appreciated, needed? What advice would you give to the women listening that's like, man, I never really thought about it like this? You were helping me have a deeper sense of awareness. I want to do better for the young men in my life, or for maybe the brothers or the spouse, like, What can they do to better support men in this season?
I've been told I'm a blunt coach.
Duh.
I've been told I'm direct.
Absolutely.
Accurate. But I think I was talking with Shannon. He's one of the coaches that I look up to and admire. He's mentored me for over the years. And I have a phrase that I say in some of my sessions. I say, and this is important to understand for everybody to hear this, liar, liar, pants on fire. What I found in this journey, men and women, stop lying to yourself. Like, just stop lying to yourself. Take the time to say, men are a priority in my life and how I support, serve, and appreciate them on a regular basis, and particularly the covenant one that I have with God.
Right.
If you have issues in your marriage, 9 times out of 10, that is not a priority for you. Just facts.
Yeah.
Now, other relationships, the dynamics are so much different, right? And that's a case by case, and we'll have to have a conversation. But 9 times out of 10, the marriages that really like, men are very basic creatures for the most part. And they repeat typical things. Women are dynamic. Right? They come with so much when it comes to the relationship part. And so when they're locked in, there's not a lot of heavy issues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was sharing with Shirley earlier that we came in, okay, with a responsibility, but they came in built with everything so much that God said, not only are you good, but I want you to help him.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah. Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll say this, man, bro, thank you for the husband, the father, the executive, the leader, the author, the speaker, just the man of God you are. You make me want to be a better man. I'm challenged by your presence to be better. Man, I'm so honored, bro, that you're taking this journey with us, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro. You about to make all my dreams come true.
Yeah. And I want to say this, Jim. I know we got to close out, but it's important to share.
Yeah.
You're a powerful leader, bro. Like, going back to awareness, me and my wife didn't leave six-figure jobs because, man, God, can you just give us a sign? God say, fool, you woke up this morning. That's the sign, right? Now, you are such an anomaly, bro, that you are worth sacrificing for.
Wow.
You are worth changing and stopping something for. And so I'm so grateful. My partnership with you as brother now has left me in a perpetual state of gratefulness that now I'm not only able to see from the helicopter perspective, but from the roots. Because I love the ground now. Yeah. I used to love the crowd, but now I love the ground.
Yeah.
And that's really being in your presence with how you serve. Like, I'm a better tipper at restaurants.
Facts.
Right?
Facts.
I work out better. I hate working out. Yeah. You irritate me.
Yeah.
Right? But just your excellence about how you travel, how you treat your wife.
Yeah.
Like, I became a better, in like less than 10 months, I became a better husband.
Wow.
Mm. Right? More in tune to my daughter. Like, how, like, bro, you are a walking, living, breathing example of what greatness looks like, bro.
Wow.
And it is a true honor. Like, I know that God has something special for us to be in the space that we're in.
Facts.
To serve everybody else.
Facts.
And so my honor in this relationship, even with Mike, is to cover this.
Yeah.
This is so special. Like, my assignment in this season is to cover this as we grow it.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful and thankful and honored, man.
Man, likewise. Hey, Jay, bro, I feel the same about you, man.
Can I go on the record and just ask you for a part two to this sometime, bro? It ain't got to be next week, bro.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I got stuff that we didn't even get to tap on that he even started dabbling and mentioning. But I didn't realize how much I needed this. And I just know how powerful this is to our community,
and I want to tap in with him again,
bro.
I want Chris on the next one. So we'll have that other mic and she can tap in.
Okay, for sure.
But man, look, you know, this manhood, we want to be the best we can be. Y'all heard what he said. He's still growing. He's still evolving. I'm still growing and I'm still evolving. And that constant pursuit of that next level is what next level living is all about. See y'all next week. I'm on another level. I'm on another level. I'm on another level.